All right. So we would call the meeting to order. It's 5:33 p.m. We got the attendance. We have six board members. And we needed five for quorum. Does anybody have any comments on the previously distributed minutes? Okay, if no one has any changes or comments, I would like to see if we can approve those, and I will ask for a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Rob. All those approving, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we've got the minutes approved. And I would like to ask for any public comment. Is there anybody wishing to make any comments today, please? Okay, so Ms. Lopez, it's up to you to start the principal report.
Thank you, Jim. And welcome everyone, good evening. I'll start off by just going over and breaking my announcement into instruction, some assessment pieces, and then culture. For instruction around our students, our full remote has been extended until February 15. So we are still virtual. Our marking period 2 has ended. Our grades are due today. Teachers are submitting grades today for our students in their marking period 2. We already started marking period 3 and giving a chance for our students to continue to engage and learn. Report cards will be available the 10th via Home Access Center. And currently we are planning a marking period 2 honor roll luncheon. So that's something exciting and a lot of parents are also looking forward to. In terms of our teachers around instruction, we have started already our virtual DPAS for teachers. Also making sure that we have been consistent with our walkthroughs to support ongoing teacher development and student engagement. That's been pretty for us consistent and key and supporting teachers as well. We are preparing for mid-year PLC, aligning it to state testing, forecasting, and just overall different instructional areas of focus. We have onboarded new staff this past month, which is pretty exciting. We have a new chemistry teacher and a new French teacher. They're excited. Whenever any of you have a chance, come see their classrooms. They truly have just created what I consider a true learning space that is positive and just conducive for growth. So really excited. And they're looking forward to meet our kids in person. We've had amazing, amazing professional development and sessions with Achievement Network. We've been focusing on curriculum alignment and planning around high quality instruction and equitable practices. That's been very well received from our staff. We've been very excited. We have another session coming up March 6th. So for us, we're looking at different ways to continue having the discussion and also just the overall evaluation of high quality instruction and equitable practices. Our upcoming assessment, we are planning for mid-year NWEA testing and WIDA testing as well. So that's something that is up and coming. In terms of culture, we have our parent and family conferences, February 10th and 11th. That's always an exciting time. It will be virtual. If you have any questions or want to meet any of our parents, please let us know. It's always a great opportunity. We have increased our family communication. We are using Remind, robocalls, and emails as well, and our traditional phone calls, but just to make sure that communication is key and that students are getting support that they need virtually. We are also creating mid-year success plan for students that are in danger of failing, as well as behavioral plans for any student that need that extra support. So that's something that we've been really focusing and working with our SPET team, our culture team, to make sure that our students have the best support. We are creating kickboard incentives for our students and our teachers to make sure that really good behavior is being rewarded in different ways. So that's something that I know that our culture team is working hard on as well. Now, this next piece is very, very exciting. And a lot of folks have their hands on deck. So when we have it all up and running, please feel free to stop by our Black History Celebration. Includes HBCU and Spirit Week, door contents, but more importantly, we're transforming our hallways. We are transforming our hallways and providing our students with a walk through Black history, highlighting the different centuries. And when I tell you, it is, we're still putting things up, and already what we have is so impressionable. It's just, to me, it's such an opportunity for our students to really engage in discussion and feel empowered. So it's really exciting. And I just want to leave with that. So thank you. Do I have any questions?
Thank you very much for the update, Ms. Lopez. One question that I had to start with is, can you give us a little bit of background on the two new teachers that were hired?
Absolutely. The chemistry teacher, he's been teaching in Philadelphia for, I would say, up to 8 years now. The great thing about Mr. Curtis, he's been, before teaching, he actually was a social worker. So, you know, coming in and working with our students and having the background that really can create support for our students is everything. And we're really excited about that. Also, Mr. the other teacher for World Language French is Mr. Francis. Now, Mr. Francis is really excited. He's been teaching for 3.5 years in Maryland. These are certified teachers in those areas. And Mr. Francis is actually certified in French and Spanish. So, but he will be focusing on French at this moment so that we can, you know, kind of get him acclimated to our culture and our students. So we're really excited. They're looking forward to hopefully being part of our next board meeting so that you can see them and they can introduce themselves as well.
Excellent, excellent. Sounds like two great new hires. And you also mentioned about some students that may be in danger of failing. Do we have a large group in that category? How does that look?
So right now, as the grades are being uploaded, we're able to identify every marking period, the end of every marking period, we try to identify students that, once the grades are in, identify students that need that extra support. And we have these mid-year conversation, not just with the student, but with the parents as well. The great thing about it is we also have before that students that are failing conversation is already ongoing with parents and teachers. So this will not be the first time that a parent will be hearing that their student is in danger of failing. That communication has been already in place throughout. So, but I can give you a better number once our grades are in and I do a little bit more of an assessment.
Thank you. I'm glad that you had those discussions with the parents and that you have methods of helping them along. So thank you for the update. Anybody else have any questions for Ms. Lopez? Okay. I think it's up to the finance report.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. There was a budget that may have been actually emailed out earlier today. Did you guys get the budget? If not, I can share my screen.
Yes, we have received it.
Okay, awesome.
Does everybody else have it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. So the administration team and I met last week or a couple weeks ago to really go through the budget. I really commend the administration team of working together to really go through this budget and scrub it. The budget isn't pretty, but it's now viable. And that's what the biggest concern was, making sure that we had a viable budget to get to the end of the year. What you're seeing in the budget, essentially, you're still going to operate at a significant deficit. That deficit, as you can see, is a little over $1 million deficit. That's not sustainable in the long term. However, it will get you through this year because you have $1.3 million in carryover from the prior year that you're basically going to utilize in order to offset that deficit. What this helped us to do is make sure that there weren't any staff layoffs, so staff remains in place. And we just went through the other areas to identify where we could cut. And then really taking a look at the federal grants and what initially were built in specifically to those CARES Act money, the ESSER grants that came in. There were a lot of expenses that were not actually happening this year. So there's some amendments that are actually going to be done to those grants in order to actually bring it in line with what you are doing, which was able to, we were able to wrap some of those expenses under the federal grant, which was great because that was the revenue offset to help us out with that. So high level, what you're seeing is there's a comparison from the preliminary budget, which was built on 335 students. Your enrollment came in at 285. That's a 50 kid drop from what the original budget was actually built on, which is a significant impact to your budget. So when we went through the budget, what we found is that the impact for having 50 less students is that you had $540,000 in revenue that essentially had to come off of your charges to school districts. In addition to that, the very other big hit was your state funding. So it was over budgeted to begin with. And then when you actually account for the student loss in your enrollment, this is why we're seeing such huge numbers. I would expect to see about a $500,000 reduction overall in local and in state, but not in each respective area. It just lets me know that these areas were just really over budgeted. And weren't really in line with the actual state and local funding model as it should have been. For federal funding, you're going to see we have a significant increase in federal funding at $804,000 revenue there. That's because as we went through and we identified what's actually happening with the organization, we were able to align some reimbursements under the federal grants. There are going to be some amendments that have to be done to those CARES Act funding in order for the revenue to be realized. But we do not anticipate that there'll be any issues with that. It's just a submission that has to be done, which Leland is working on in order to get that done. For local fundraising, you're going to see it went up slightly by just under $20,000. And that really is, there's $100,000 that's built in there that's anticipated would be coming in from the foundation. I believe these are the pass-through revenue related to your tutor, your AmeriCorps tutor program. We looked at what you got last year, which was about $114,000. So we anticipate $100,000 this year. And you've actually received miscellaneous funding of about $19,000 actually in the door that's already came in. So we did adjust the local fundraising to include the $19,000, which none of that is related to the foundation funding. So overall, what you're seeing is total income from the original budget is down by $451,000. When we look at the expense side, we're not seeing the expense side moving as great as we're seeing the revenue decline. The expense decline was about $178,000. The adjustments that we did on the budget, on the expense side of the budget, is facilities and maintenance has gone up by about $106,000. A good portion of that is related to the DCAD settlement for rental units, I guess, that were not utilized as they were supposed to be under the contract. And you settled out with DCAD. That settlement was close to $100,000 settlement. On food service, that's really just a budget cut decreasing that number by 3,500. In instructional support, any areas that weren't necessary or were not being covered by the federal grants, we went ahead and did some budget cuts there, about 400,000. And then finally, transportation went up by 118,000, but that's actually going to be offset with some federal grant funding for your ESSER's grant. So overall, what you're seeing here is that your expenses are gonna outpace your revenue by a little over $1 million. And like I indicated in the beginning, you have 1.3 million in surplus from the prior year that you're gonna be absorbing in order to offset that loss. It's gonna leave you with about $338,000 in the ending fund balance. It does meet the state's required 3% contingency. And also included up in instructional support, what we made sure to include there is your summer salary obligations that you have to meet. That's one of the things that Department of Education will look at if you're under financial review. They wanna make sure that you've got set aside your summer salary requirements. In the event you were to close, they wanna make sure that that's covered. So we have included that in instructional support. So the $300,000 in the fund balances after we have accounted for it, the summer salary obligations. So you meet your 3% contingency, it's lean, it leaves you with a very low fund balance, but it gives you the opportunity to get through this year, and then with some strategic planning, developing next year's budget, which you'll have to, that'll have to operate at least a small surplus, if not break even. You would not be able to operate next year again at a deficit. It buys you time, essentially, is what this budget does. So that's a high level about the budget. Any questions about anything that you saw?
Thank you very much for the update, and thank you for sending the proposed budget a little earlier today. So we appreciate that. The foundation, 100,000 that we're showing here, is the foundation in agreement that that money is forthcoming to us?
Leland, I'll let you speak to that because I had you check in on that with the foundation.
Yeah, that's the CSP money that we get every year, Jim, in regards to the reimbursement for the monies that are allocated in advance that we traditionally get in May or June. Upon agreement, as long as we met all of our obligations.
I think we can invoice them anytime after October, Leland.
Mm-hmm.
Have we been invoicing them?
No, we have not invoiced them yet.
Okay, so I don't think we have to wait until later. I think you guys could actually begin the invoicing so that you can collect before the end of the year.
All right, definitely we'll outreach, give them some outreach this week. Begin that process.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions on this?
I had a question, actually two. One is, I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leland, but I thought we were, I think we were at 294 now versus 285. And because of, does that an account in any change in our funding amount, or is it too late in order to get that additional for those like nine students?
Yeah, it'd be too late.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, the unit count is September 30th. And so any student that arrives that we enroll after that date is just a student that will be added, and we can utilize them for the next unit count, which is April 1st, as far as predicting what the unit count will be the following year. But so 285 is what our actual funding number that we will actually receive for this year. And it will not go any higher than that, or it won't go any lower either.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then thank you for that. And then the for Michelle, what's the, I know you said we can't go long without having this additional funding. What's the cutoff, I would say, as far as what we need to do in order to make sure we're viable for the next school year?
The next school year, we have to really look at all of your expenses and any contracts that you have that might not be vital for the school that is not covered in some sort of federal grant. Those contracts you would have to look to cut. And you would also have to look at your staffing just to make sure that you know, your staffing is aligning with the units that you're actually earning based on your student enrollment. Unfortunately, it's a tough place to look. It is your largest expense. Any positions that are covered in a federal grant, that would be covered, and any positions essentially that would be covered in your unit count, you would want to maintain. But you'd have to take a look at your educational structure to see if that could be restructured, and you'd have to look at the positions that you have on board. So you are administrative heavy. That's probably an area you may want to take a look at. And then overall, you just have to look at what your teacher to student ratio is, and any other positions that you think that you might have to consolidate. Other than that's the last place we always want to look. We really want to look everywhere else, honestly. You need your teachers, you need your instructional staff. That's not the ideal place to cut. But when it comes down to if you've cut everywhere else and you just can't cut anymore, unfortunately, that have to be an area that you would look at. I think there were a lot of high contracts that you had. I think that we could really take some opportunities to revisit some of the contracts that you have and maybe cut some of those contracts. And the hope is once we do that measure, that staffing would not necessarily be an issue. We would be able to make up that difference. But you can see we're talking about $1 million. If you were to come in at the same enrollment next year as this year, you're talking about $1 million in expenses that you've got to cut off this budget. And honestly, I'm not sure how you do that without looking at your staffing structure.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate that.
Michelle, a follow-on question. Actually, two follow-on questions. One is on the minimum 3% cushion that we need. What is that number that we need?
The exact number, it has to be 3% of your state and local funding. So I'll quickly add that number up for you. That number has to be... That number had to be 141,000 rounded.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And also regarding the unit count, this year that, you know, Rashima just asked, we have had some additional students that came in that were not being funded at the current time. Leland, is it possible to project for next year, whenever we, you know, if October 30th is the date or whatever is the date that we have to give the count, if we know some students may be coming in later, is there a way for us to predict that and get that funding locked in?
Yeah, so the it's a partnership between the DOE, and we're responsible for coming up with an April 1st count, which is kind of like an indicator to see where we are, and we will be given monthly reports as part of our CSAC agreement, our accountability agreement that we have with the DOE. But how we predict is through our recruitment. We are recruiting now from multiple schools that are within walking distance of Great Oaks, including Coomba, Eastside, Thomas Edison, the Stubbs School, Charter School of Newcastle, and then beyond that, we'll get a little bit into it in regards to our recruitment and enrollment. We're expanding to other zip codes. When I first started in 2015, we had a lot of city students, but we also had a lot of county students being bused in as well, and we're going to be going after zip codes that are tradition that we used to go after previously to expand our net and work with families who have chosen Great Oaks in the past. So the prediction will be in monthly reports that we will be doing as far as the applications coming in. And the first year commitments, Jim, that are signed where students and families are committing to come to Great Oaks. So we will be able to predict it on a monthly basis.
Thank you, Leland. Thank you. Any other questions on finance from anybody?
The only thing that would be left is for the board to approve the proposed budget. And if you approve it, then next month when I report out the actuals versus budget, it will be against this budget that we're looking at today.
Excellent. Thank you. And Michelle, just a final question, as because we're talking about expensive contracts, or maybe Leland knows already. Leland, do we have any contracts this year that we can shave off any expenses from existing contracts, or everything that we have currently now in this budget is things that we are going to need for this year?
No, we still have contracts that we've had for the last couple of years that were directly related to student support services that were linked to the first when the ESSER dollars are no longer accessible. When we run out, then yeah, we would have to cut those services, and we know what those services are, and in building out next year's budget, they are not included moving forward. So we know what those contracts are, and we're ready to move forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So I move that we approve the new proposed budget. And is there a second?
Second. This is Kira.
Thank you, Kira. All those approving, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. The budget is approved.
All right, that's all I have. So if there's no other questions for me, I'll go ahead and leave the meeting. Everybody have a really good night.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You,
Michelle.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Kent, the executive director report.
Excellent, Jim. I actually do want to defer to our excellent team and Khadija Jarman and Kendria Walltower right now in regards to our recruitment and enrollment report prior to presenting the executive presentation. Just it kind of falls in line to what we were just talking about with the budget as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. My apologies for not showing my face. I'm sitting in my vehicle. Actually just finished a social work visit. We are actually very excited for what is coming and what new students are now applying to Great Oaks Wilmington. We currently have 29 new student applications in-house, and I believe we're at 294 enrolled with enrolled students. So our next point of purpose and goal is to really create new opportunities to recruit and retain for next school year, with a focus on recruiting at least 100 students, 8th through 11th grade, and retaining at least 20 or more 8th graders, with an end goal of 334 or 335 to meet our end goal for next school year. We are currently focusing on three new recruitment and retainment focuses that we have utilized before. As Leland spoke of, he spoke of our zip code expansion. That ties into the applications, a lot of the new applications that Ms. Walltower has been receiving. She was able to notice that in these applications, they were coming from a lot of Newcastle County addresses within the Newcastle, Bear, and Newark community. And although we are in walking distance of many of the middle schools that Leland mentioned before, we want to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that we do have schools in other districts with students with needs that we can actually, you know, satisfy. I know Leland mentioned some of the schools, but some of the schools I can think of off the top of my head within perhaps the Colonial School District, as far as middle schools, we have George Reed, which is in the 19720. We have Gunning Bedford. We have so many different schools that we can actually outreach to. And within these zip codes, we discuss a mailer option because it may be really hard for us to get into the district schools. But as far as releasing a mailer so that these families can have something in their hand, introducing them to the opportunity that Great Oaks brings is our next step as far as zip code expansion. So we are looking to start that as soon as tomorrow. creating and re-looking at what we have in-house as far as a mailer, but re-looking at what that looks like to send that out as soon as possible and expand it into different mailboxes. And also, with that being said, also door knocking, or we've had an outreach team that we utilized last summer, which was very successful, where we pinpointed specific leaders in different communities that had relationships within the Newcastle County area to actually have these conversations with families about Great Oaks. And we were pretty successful in our first year doing that. Our next point is, and Kendria, you can interrupt me at any time, is the, and I'll just jump to three real quick, and I'll let you can talk about the enrichment and extracurricular opportunities if you don't mind. But the CEB assets right within our building, the assets and partnerships that we have, we want to make that a selling point as well to the family, that we have a great family resource center right within the CEB, that we also have Rise to Thrive, which is a growing mentorship program that the CEB is extending and offering to all the different schools within that building. We also have Kaumba, as Leland stated, the University of Delaware as well. So we're going to really look at what opportunities we can present to the families and really come up with a solid plan to make sure that these resources are being utilized.
Can you hear me? Good evening, everyone. Kendria Walls, how we're here. Just to add on to a few things that Ms. Jarman already mentioned, we definitely identified two of our strengths being our performing arts department and our after-school programming through 21st century. So we're really trying to tap in and to invite our families in to really and really highlight those strengths that we are seeing in our school. One of the things that we are looking forward to doing is inviting the community to our annual musical this year that's happening in May. So we definitely plan to promote that now and just send those flyers out to get families in to see all of the great things that our students are currently doing and just highlighting our after-school programs and being a part of the DIAA this year for the first time. So we're definitely going to recruit not only for, you know, our performing arts program, but just to get those students who may not have a chance to participate in, you know, other sports teams at bigger schools, but they'll definitely get a chance to be a part of one of our DIAA sports at Great Oaks. So those are things that we are, some of the direction we're going in with those programming, with that program.
Does anyone have any questions? I'm sorry.
Thank you very much for presenting this, and thank you for introducing the topic to the board today as well. So just to clarify something in my head, you mentioned we need to fill 100 seats and retain 20 eighth graders, and we've got 29 new applications so far. How are we doing in retaining the eighth graders? Do we have any indications at this point?
Yeah, actually, we're going to be sending when we meet with parents for report card conferences, we will be having our parents fill out a intent to return. So that will give us an indication as to where we are, and that's happening this week, Jim. So we hope to have some numbers for you for the next board meeting.
With April 1st being the deadline, I guess, for the DOE, is that correct, Leland?
April 1st is the unit count where we need to be able to demonstrate that we're able to replace all of our seniors who are graduating, as well as predict the number of ninth graders who are arriving next year.
And if we hit the 100 that you guys are projecting plus the 20 retentions, we always have some drop-off later on that, you know, we cannot predict at this point. Is that, you guys feel that number is going to have enough cushion in it in case we have drop-off later on?
Yeah, I'll defer to Ms. Jarman and Ms. Waltower. They actually spoke about that and actually keeping contacts warm with families. And Ms. Jarman, can you share, or Ms. Waltower, can you share what you guys were thinking about that?
Can you guys hear me? I just want to make sure because my screen went blank.
Yes.
Okay, great. To answer that question, as far as retention goes, I'll back up just a little bit. We also, on the inside, have been developing a mentorship program for our eighth graders to shadow within the high school. We did have a hiccup with COVID and having to go virtual, but our plan is to really kick that off with a buddy system when it comes to some of our seniors or some of our 11th graders, kind of taking on that position to introduce our eighth graders to the possibilities and the opportunities with Great Oaks. When it comes to retaining, if we're talking about the 29 applications, we will be putting together a welcome package for each family that we admit along with next steps so that we continue to keep them engaged all the way up to the day their child starts with our school.
Thank you, Ms. Jones.
All right, and from a confidence level, if I were to ask you that question, how do you feel about hitting those numbers at this point? Either Ms. Jarman or Ms. Waltower, whoever would like to answer that.
I think they both will. We're both feeling the same way, very confident. I know it seems pretty late in the game to get to our goal, but we've seen an influx of applicants come through in March and April and those things of that sort. Myself and Ms. Jarman plan to spend a lot of time outside of the building to really just do the groundwork. To get in touch with these families, even while the students are in school from 8 to 3, we just plan to just talk to people and just make sure that we leave something of Great Oaks at the laundromats and at the local convenience store. So we're definitely feeling really hopeful and confident, and we plan to actually set the bar even higher. I know we have the number of 100, but we're definitely aiming higher.
Go ahead. I'm done. I'd like to add that we are also we're very excited to really be able to get out and work with the community. We definitely have advocates, on the outside with our parents, with our students that are now graduating and going to different colleges. So we have a lot of success stories, but I think we're going out with a full suitcase of opportunity, when it comes to what success can look like with Great Oaks. And also I wanna add that, we are developing a solid position of creating success plans for our eighth graders through 8th through 12th. And that's really a focus as well. So I think that along with our leadership enrichment camp that we've incorporated as of last year, which was very successful, that being as well, something that leadership, what parent doesn't want their child to develop in that area? Not to say they have to be the in the front and center of the room, but there are different ways to develop different type of leaders. And I think that's the direction that we're going in. So I believe I can speak for myself, and if you guys can hear the excitement in Kendra's voice, that we are very excited and we are very optimistic, and we're going to take the same opportunity when we step outside the doors and speak with people outside of Great Oaks.
Definitely. We can hear the excitement. Thank you. Sorry, Leland, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to piggyback and thank Ms. Waltower and Ms. Jarman for not just presenting tonight, but their enthusiasm and passion that they carry and they do every day as far as working with our students and our community. But I also want to highlight what they said in regards to having our parents and our students be part of the recruitment is definitely a piece of what is actually most of what we want to do as far as share the good things where we have students who have been accepted to multiple colleges and also the supports that some of the families have received in regards to the advocacy program that, that Ms. Jarman talked about in regards to the CEB. And then we are still moving towards mentorship coming out of this pandemic as well. So we do believe that we will meet the numbers, and we will be working very diligently with school partners. I also will be reaching out to school leaders and school counselors to make the connections to make this happen. Oh, and one more thing, Jim, and you're aware of it. We did meet with the foundation to see what is best practices that are happening as far as recruitment with other Great Oaks schools across the network. And a lot of the processes that we will be implementing this year are best practices that are working across the network.
And some of the practices that Ms. Jarman and Ms. Waltauer mentioned are certainly those that they recommended. You know, the personal touch, the door knocking, those are the kinds of things that they said works best, and it was already on your calendar. So well done to have that previously planned. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Ms. Waltauer. Thank you, Ms. Jarman. So I'm gonna just continue on with our presentation. All right. Just a quick update of where we are. We're still virtual right now, 100% coming out of winter break. Last week, we determined with the board's approval to return back to school February 15th. Teachers will be returning back to the building on the 14th to prepare. And we are so excited to welcome our students back to the building. We've got a lot planned as Principal Lopez announced earlier with our Black History Wall of Flame all throughout our both floors. In addition to that, we have an event planned that week, a random act of kindness, which will be on 217, where we we hope to include and send the board out information on this after our meeting on this Thursday. But we do plan to be part of a major movement, random act of kindness, throughout our school and our school community, where everyone commits to 5 acts of random acts of kindness, whatever that means. So beyond that, our students will be 100% back in person, except for those students who chose to be virtual throughout the year.
And at this point, Leland, previously you had about 25 students that were virtual. You expect the same kind of numbers now?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we do expect the same numbers, around 25 to 30. And actually, we do have several families who were virtual who are asking to come back to being in person more than remaining virtual. So we do expect the number to be somewhere around 25.
Thank you.
Yeah. So overall, our priorities right now, just dealing with enrollment, is to target 100 new students. Next year, we will be 8th grade through 12th grade. In addition to that, we are recruiting. We're expanding our zip codes outreach, focusing on our strengths of small learning communities, mentoring, and tutoring. As the executive director, my priorities, number one is to make sure that we are compliant, partnering with the DOE. Last year, we were 84% compliant. 80% is the threshold where we have to be above. This year, we are building upon the 84% that we were last year. We are aiming to be 100%, but as of right now, we're somewhere between 90 to 100% compliant. And part of our non-compliance last year was the budget. And this year, for the first time, we can say that we are above board. So we're very excited to say that we have a viable budget at this point. So the biggest key is going to be student enrollment, and we're very aware of that, and that is our priority. Our budget will be focused on student needs, and we will be building building our budget based on our student population and enrollment. I definitely want to highlight our teachers. As per our CSAC requirements, we have to be above 65% teachers that are certified, and we are above 80%, somewhere closer to 84-85% at this time, and that information is readily available on Deeds if anyone has any questions or want to look that up. We, as a staff, we are focusing on accountability, implementing systems that were not in place, and focusing on two things, professionalism and customer service as far as the families and students that we serve. Any questions on our priorities?
I think this is a good summary here, Leland, and you know, you obviously this is what a report card of the DOE is going to be. So we got to keep this preeminent and, you know, continue to send periodic updates to us as you guys see fit.
Yes, definitely. I agree with that. Thank you, Jim, for that. As a staff, we will definitely, beginning this week, be providing updates as far as recruitment, as well as overall what's happening with our school. I'm skipping the enrollment because we've done it already. Building bridges, we are good. We are pushing to be a better Great Oaks and providing student access and opportunities to grow. Just want to give a highlight for Imani Young, who we celebrated last month. Miss Imani Young had a brand new baby. So we want to wish her and congratulate her on a brand new baby boy. And Jeff definitely want to highlight her and thank her. Thank her for everything she's done for us this year. We look forward to having you return and look forward to meeting your baby boy as soon as we are able to see him. All right. I'm not sure if Erica is on the call. I'm not able to see the screen, but I definitely want to say kudos because I know that Miss Broadnax is on the call and she did travel to Texas with our cheer squad. And last month, they competed nationally against other cheer squads, and they came in sixth place in the national competition. We definitely want to take a moment and give them some snaps and applause for the experience and representing Great Oaks in a mighty way, going all the way to Dallas, Texas. And with that, I'm going to say that concludes the executive presentation.
That was excellent for this squad. Congratulations and very well done. I know that for you know the last couple of years, I'm sure that it's to the credit of all those people at the school that are helping. And Kira, thank you for being one of those folks that are helping with the squad. We appreciate that.
Excellent. And we do have a new sports website that Mr. Backer, our gym teacher and health teacher, has created. So we will be sharing that at our next board meeting so that you guys will be able to look that up as well. Thank you, Jim, and thank you all to all of our board members for your support. We really appreciate you. We would not be able to move forward without your support.
Thank you very much, Leland. And one other thought, maybe we should try to think of a way to celebrate for all those students that are graduating that have been admitted to colleges. I mean, that's a significant milestone for those children to have gone through the school, graduated, gain admittance to colleges, and maybe we can think or talk about it later, what it is that we can do to recognize them.
That's a great suggestion, Jim, and maybe we can do that at our, maybe some acknowledgement at our next board meeting, but something that we can do at school as well as we plan to come back in person.
Anybody else have any questions or comments for Leland or any of the presenters?
I just want to publicly thank Leland, Sam, Tam, all of you. Like, this is not easy work. And I know every month we get together and we get on this screen and we hear the reports, but I know that on the ground, it's insane. I understand. I overstand it. So I from all of us, just want to appreciate you all and give you some encouragement to keep pushing. You know, things get better and move forward, and you guys are doing a phenomenal job in the midst of a landscape where every single school in the country, district, charter, private, is reeling. And so I just want to sort of hats off to you and moving through all the challenges. We're not overlooking how incredibly hard you're working. And I hope you get some rest really soon. You guys deserve it, for sure.
Angela, I have to piggyback on that and just say thank you so much for saying that. And I actually have to, that's like a random act of kindness, just your expression. But I also have to say the energy that I've been getting, meeting with each of our staff, and some of our fellows are on the call right now. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to our fellows. Thank you to our educators. Thank you to our staff, that I know I would not be able to lead. I would still not be standing here without all of you. And the energy that I have in meeting all of you has been incredible. Like, you guys are ready to receive our students next week. That's all I heard for the last couple of weeks, that you miss our students. And the reason why you're here is it's undoubtedly about them. And so I want to say that is the air between the leadership's wind on our sails or our wings that keep us going. And I know that, like, I'm really giddy. I'm emotional. I'm all in, and I know we're going to be successful. And I just want to thank you all for everything that you give. You show up every day, even when it gets tough. Everything that Angela just mentioned, you show up. Virtually, you show up in person. You have been sick. We've all had contact or either close contact or contracted the virus over the last 2 years, and you guys, yet you still here. And even, I just want to be real, that even though some of you may be moving on, we just want to say thank you for your service, for your time being here, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you very much, Leon. Thank you for that, and thank you, Angela, as well. Anybody else have any other comments before we sign off from this meeting and go to the executive session?
I just added in the chat, and by the way, thank you so much, Angela, and the board overall. Truly mean it from the bottom of my heart. I wanted to add that our culture and counseling team is also planning a signing day for seniors, kind of what you see like in the drafts and things like that, and just be spearheaded by Ms. Stuart Henderson. So, and we'll keep you updated on that event.
Thank you, Ms. Lopez. And one last comment. I want to congratulate Principal Lopez for passing her certification for state principalship. That is official now. And I just want to take a moment. We did report that to the state this week, today. And that needs to be publicly acknowledged. So thank you.
Yay.
Congratulations. Yay.
Welcome. Thank you, everyone.
Congrats, Sam.
Thank you.
That's great.
All right, a lot of good news. Thank you very much for that. All right, any other last minute thoughts? Thank you very much. So it's 6:27 and we're signing off the regular meeting and we'll be signing into the executive session. Congratulations, Ms. Lopez.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your support.
Thank you, everyone.